Father God, we thank you that you are amazing. Thank you that you can do amazing things in Uganda and you can do amazing things here in West Glasgow. Thank you that you are so powerful and that you are holy and mighty, and we give you praise for that. Lord, we think of our world and some of the terrible things that are going on. We think of countries that we know quite well and countries that we don't know so well, where the shadow of terrorism hangs and people are frightened a lot of the time. And we do pray for the people that are terrorists. We pray that they would see that what they're doing is wicked and it's silly and it's counterproductive. And we pray that you would move there and that you would convict some people to change their ideology. And Lord, we pray for the leaders of our own countries, that they would respond wisely and not in a knee-jerk manner, but they would want to consider things deeply and not just greet terrorism with further violence, but that they would consider what things they can do that would be more constructive. So we do pray for that. And we pray for all the families around the world, Lord, who lose loved ones. And we pray that we would be able to respond with compassion to the things that we see. Lord, looking more locally, we pray for those in our church who are sick or caring for people who are sick. And we know that there are quite a few of them. And Lord, we pray that you would look after all these people and give them peace and give them persistence to keep going. And an assurance that you are present and that you understand what it's like to be sick and sore and tired. And we pray that they would be have the knowledge of that too. Lord, we do pray for our dear friend Mary, who's out on the boat in Madagascar. Thank you that things seem to be going so well and that it's quite an exciting time. And we pray that you would bless all the people that come into contact with Mercy Ships while she's there, and that they would get physical healing, but it would also be a place of spiritual healing that they could go and see your gracious love too. And Lord, I want to pray for our kids and our young people in West Glasgow. Thank you that we've got so many children here, and we pray for them while they're out at their Sunday schools, that they would be learning about you, and that today may be the day that special grains of truth that lead them to giving their hearts to you would be become apparent for the first time. So we thank you for them, bless their teachers, give them the right words to say. And Lord, we thank you again for Gabriel coming to visit us today. Thank you for his quite extraordinary life, and we pray that we would be inspired to go on and do brave things by the things that he says to us today. In your name we pray, amen. And I'm just going to hand over to you now.
Again, I thank God that I'm here this morning. I greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have a few things to do this morning. I thank God for friends in this church, my sister Marjorie, and another sister, I forgot the name. What's her name? Moira, and another one. Maima. And all of you who have become my friends. I lived in Scotland for 4.5 years. And I believe we passed by on those streets of Gayo Street, Shockyhouse Street, Buchanan Street. We passed by each other, and we were strangers to each other. But now we are brothers and sisters because we've met in this fellowship. I was born years and years ago to a lady, a very tiny, small lady. She gave birth to 10 children. So I have 10 brothers and 7 sisters. My dad was never at home because he was busy with other ladies making babies. So that's how we became 17. That's a long story. And then when I was 6, I left my parents to go and live with my aunt. In Africa, it takes the whole village to raise a child. And in those days, we had no many resources. So leaving my village and going to live my parents was with my aunt. It was a privilege because my aunt had married a pastor in the city, and they loved me and took me to school and learned English. English is my seventh language. And because of that little English I have, I managed to come to this country. I became a Christian when I was 18. After living with Christian families for all these years, and as you know, living with a Christian family or born in a Christian family does not make you a Christian. I had to decide by myself when I was 18, and I received Jesus as my personal and my loving Savior, 18 years. After that, I involved myself in youth work, in evangelism, in preaching on the streets, in all corridors of East Africa. It was in 1997, a missionary came and stayed with us for 2 years, and she was from Swindon. But she used to go to Capenry Bible School in Lancaster. So it was there that she picked the forms and she sent them to me. And she said, "We've seen your dedication to the work of the Lord. Would you like to come and study?" And that was my first travel to this shining country. I came here in 1999. I was at Capenry for 1 year. And then I came up to Glasgow to study at the International Christian College. I was there for about 4.5 years. During that time, there were so many things that were happening in my life. And I had to choose. I had qualifications to stay here to work in churches here or other organizations, but I had to choose really what God wants me to do. And I prayed and fasted for about 2 weeks. And some people thought I was crazy because I wasn't eating, but I was seeking the Lord for the guidance and where to go. And during those 2 weeks, God revealed it to me that I must go back to Uganda, my land, my country, my people. That was 2002. So I bought some land in Uganda with the help of friends in this country. And then when I finished my studies, I left and went back to Uganda. The land I had bought, there were nothing on the land. There was one thing that I still talk about even today. There was a shrine. There was a witch doctor in the village who used to do all terrible things to the people, and mainly to children, because he used to sacrifice children to the gods. And we bought this land, and I received lots of physical attacks. I have a lot to thank God for. One time he promised to kill me within 2 weeks. And I said, "My God is too big to be that small." And he protected me. I didn't die in two weeks. After a while, about 4 months, the man died. I didn't kill him, but he died. His days were numbered, and he had to leave this planet. That's what God does. When there is some people are causing obstacles to the gospel, he takes them away. Then we started cutting down the trees and chopping down the forest and uprooting strong, big, massive trees with our own hands. We had no JCBs. We had no tractors, but we had the vision. And that vision helped us to move and go ahead with this work. I'm just giving you a brief history of where I'm coming from. And then over the years, so many things have happened. God had to show his power in the village where I come from. God had to show that he's a faithful God. I trusted him in everything, asking him for everything, and trusting that he would deliver. He's a God who hears, a God who is not deaf. He hears our prayers. And that's the background of this work. So from that day, in 2005, we had to start this work. I have a brother down there. When I snap, he does things. That is Africa. Can you go back to that slide, please? Thank you. That is Africa there. Some of you are familiar with that big continent. So many countries in the country, in the Africa. I come from eastern part of Africa. That is Uganda. There is about 34 million people living in Uganda. The capital city is Kampala. And there is about 6 million people living and working in Kampala. I think you've jumped one slide. That one. Thank you very much. That's my house. It's where I live today. And it's a Christian culture. It's a Christian charity. Not culture. It's a Christian charity. We believe in scriptures. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:25 that he who refreshes others shall himself be refreshed. And through this vision, God has refreshed us in my family and in ministry and in so many people in the village. We've had lots of problems in my family, me and my wife. We've lost about 3 kids in the last 10 years. But recently, God gave us triplets. God is amazing. He's full of surprises. But sadly, 2 died. And then that young wee girl, Priscilla, precious, she survived. She's just 7 months. Please pray for her. We want to see her grow. The church started in 2005. The church started with about 30 members after preaching the gospel to the villages and after teaching and evangelizing and discipleship of these people, then people started to continue to come. So they were able men and women. We built that temporary structure there. And we started fellowshipping there. The church has grown from 30 people to 400 people. That is the prayer, the Sunday program. If you can have a copy of it, please do. We start at 9 and finish at 1. And sometimes 1 can be 3. Depends how the Holy Ghost moves. The church has grown. That is Sunday morning. People come to worship. We have so many young people. We have so many children taking part in the service. Every Sunday, children must sing in the Sunday service and do something or read scriptures because they are the leaders of tomorrow. We have pastors and leaders conferences every year. In May, we train 600 pastors every year and give them Bibles and Christian literature. There are so many pastors in the villages who have never been to a Bible school. They have no literature. You find a church of 100 people with 5 Bibles. We give out Bibles, and this year we have a goal to give out 1,000 Bibles for the pastors and for the youth in the village where we come from. But as you know, the church is temporary, and sometimes the termites are eating all the wood. So we decided we must... time is going very fast. Oh, my God. We must dig the foundations and build a permanent church. As you can see, the walls are going up. These are the plans. When this church is finished, it will sit around 1,300 people. That's how the stage where it is right now. This is a balcony. People sit downstairs and upstairs. The school started in 2006 with 15 children. That's a school bell. It rings 5 in the morning and everybody has to wake up. Children have to walk and they must beat school at 7 o'clock to clean, to sweep, and to mop. We don't have janitors, we don't have cleaners. And then they go to the assembly to pray, to get the announcements, and then go to their classes to study. Before they start the lessons, they must pray. Those are children praying. Some of them have uniform, some of them don't have, but the most important thing is to be at school. They have breakfast at around 10:30. That's when they have porridge and some bananas and cassava and potato. Those are some of my school members. Work without play makes Jack a dull boy. That's when they exercise their bones. And they run and fall down and cry and beat each other. I believe some of you have been in those kind of fights. They go back to classes and then study. They are tired, but they're still going. We have so many people have come from UK to come and work with us on short-time mission, long-time mission, teaching and helping in all different projects. So if you are here and you have time to work for the Lord and somebody is telling you that you are retiring, Christians don't retire. They just refire. The school has grown from 15 to 600 people. Children, 19 members of staff, one busy cook. That is a time when you had a group that BB Boys, Boys Brigade, came and built a weather station and gave out teddy bears. That's again playing time. I'm rushing because of time. We had to start a secondary school, another project a few years ago. This is the only facilities people, children can come to in the village. There is no mains, there is no proper schools or infrastructure for children for education in the villages. The school is called Ruwero Brilliant High School. It's a brilliant place to study. It's grown from few kids to 198. We do a lot of vocational training, computers, carpentry, plumbing, hairdressing, making cakes. That's a miracle building. Miracles still happen even today. Some people think miracles ceased in the days of the apostles. I see miracles every day. For me, I go to bed and I close my eyes and I sleep. And I don't know if I wake up. But it's amazing to put out your feet from your duvet and put down on the freya, and you're still alive. That's a miracle. So many people sleep and they never wake up. Miracles still happen. The people who donated the money to that building, I've never met them. They read the website and gave the money, cash, and sent it. So when we had groups from Kake Baptist Church, they came and painted this wonderful block and did so many things with it so that the children may do their exams and study very well. We've always had plans to expand and to move on with so many other projects. We had the plans to build a big school for the secondary school. We started building together with the people who loved us and supported us and gave so much money, emptied their bags for the work and for the people in Uganda. And the building was finished recently. Now it is used. Miracles. Miracles in the farm. We have so many animals. These animals are slaughtered for our home consumption, but also to sell, to run the school, to run the project. So it's partly educational for the children who come and learn what we grow on the farm, but also we sell some of the products to buy the things that we can't have in the farm. Children work hard in the farms, and they help with the planting, the weeding, and the harvest, and they love it so much. Now, this is not child labor. This is children's responsibility. Water is a big problem in the village. In the villages, we don't have mains with electricity and water. And in the dry season, things dry. And it is a problem when you don't have water with so many people, so many children. We have 900 children at the center. They have to be fed breakfast, lunch, and supper every day. And you don't tell them that there is no food today. Children must eat. And you can't teach them when they're starving. So we had to hire this truck to dig the well so that we can have clean water. That is my washing machine. That is my dryer. And that's my tap. That's how we carry water. And these guys were learning how to wash the African way. We have a health unit where children come to be treated when they're sick. We have so many tropical diseases, HIV, AIDS, and malaria, that kills so many children in the village. There's 1,000 children that die every day in Africa. And because of malaria and typhoid and HIV, we treat them, we love them, we give them medication. We had so many people coming and bringing lots of medication in our clinic and helping the children and the people in the community. As I said, malaria kills people. HIV kills parents. When parents die, they leave behind so many children. And when there are so many children in the family, the mother is struggling, she has no job, the breadwinner has died. So these kids are left behind with no hope, with no shelter, with no love, with nobody to give them a hug. So we identify them and love them. When Jesus saw the children, he was filled with compassion. Disciples were chasing them away. He said, "No, let the children come to me." And that's what we do. We love them, we feed them, we train them. And then tomorrow they are going to be the leaders of this project, the leaders of Uganda. They'll bring change, not just in Uganda, but even all over the world. If you can turn to your Bible, I have 10 minutes to finish my talk. Please open your Bibles. One of the things I loved when I came here this morning is to see people opening their Bibles. I love that. In Africa, in Uganda, we have a style these days. People carry big bags, mainly ladies, massive big bags, and we call them two boxes. And one day we were watching a comedian, and he called one lady to show us what was in the bag. And we were amazed what was in the bag. And sometimes these two boxes must be filled with something very important. And that's what I saw this morning. People had Bibles, people were opening. The lady who was leading the service, my sister there, she told us scriptures and we were reading. And that was great. John chapter 1. And verse 19. This is what the Bible says. The Jews in Jerusalem sent some priests and Levites to John to ask him, "Who are you?" John spoke freely and did not refuse to answer. He said clearly, "I am not Christ." So they asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He answered, "No, I am not Elijah." Then they asked, "Are you the prophet?" He said, "No, I am not the prophet." Then they said, "Who are you? Give us any answer to tell those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John told them, in the words of the prophet Isaiah, "I am the voice of a man calling out in the desert, 'Make the road straight for the Lord.'" When I read those words, I'm always encouraged by this brother, John, who did not take pride of himself. He was John the Baptist, baptizing so many people. He could call them, I could even hear his voice today, calling them to come to be baptized in the name of the Lord. "Make straight the way for the Lord." John the Baptist, although he did not dress very well, he did not eat as many people eat today, but he had a duty. And his duty was to call people to this straight path, to call people to the Lord. Then I asked myself, what do you need in order to make the way straight for the Lord? Number one, we need to know the way. John recognized Jesus as the Messiah even before he was born, even before Jesus' birth. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 41, the Bible tells us when Elizabeth heard that Mary's greetings, the baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. The early Christians were known as those who belonged to the way, if you read in Acts chapter 9. But as you know, sin separates us from God, and Jesus had to bear the punishment for our sins and was raised again and went to heaven. And the Bible tells us that one day he will return. I'm talking about the one who owns the way, the one who owns what we do. And as you know, there are two ways every human being must follow. And you can follow, or you can choose to live your own way, or you can choose to live Jesus' way. When you live your own way, that is means you reject God as your ruler, and then you come under God's condemnation, and that means you have a reward of eternal death. But if you live Jesus' way, accept him as your ruler, as your personal savior and friend, and you trust in him as our Lord and Savior in everything you do, and then you receive forgiveness and eternal life. I am not Christ. I am not Elijah. I am not the prophet. I am the voice of a man calling out in the desert, make the way straight. This work, God used me to do this work. I'm just a vessel. I'm just clay. I'm just a man. I'm just a voice encouraging people to clear the way for the Lord and let the Lord use them. Here in Glasgow, in Asia, in Africa, in your families, to your neighbors, starting by yourself, starting from yourself, make your way straight for the Lord. I told you I have one wife, and most of you laughed. I don't know if you are happy with me to have one wife, but I have one wife because my dad had many and had so many problems. And I thank God I chose to have one so that we can work the Lord with these children, work for the Lord, showing people the way. I love you very much. You are my brothers. We may not meet again, but if we do, we will fellowship again together. There is a display board outside there. There is leaflets. Take them, please. There is gift boxes. Take them, please. There are calendars. Big ones are 8. Small ones are 5. Take them, please. They are heavy. I don't want to take them back. Buy somebody a gift and support this work. But we need your prayers. Pray for Africa. Pray for Uganda. Pray for the world. We have so many refugees coming from Sudan, Eritrea, Somalia, and Ethiopia. They come to us. We don't chase them away. We love them because we are strangers on this planet. And those are the people the Lord has brought for us to love in this generation. I will say it again. I love you. May the good Lord be with you. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you so much for the reading of your word. We thank you so much for the preaching of your word. We thank you that your word is truth. Your word is love. Your word is healing. Your word is protection. Help us, Lord, to know your word and study your word and do your will. Thank you for coming in our lives and living in our lives. Whatever we do, whatever we will do, Lord, we will be very careful not to touch your glory, because all the glory belongs to you. You deserve the glory. In the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.